Okay, welcome back to Arab Talk on KPO Radio in San Francisco, 89.5 FM. We actually have some breaking news right now. We have Diana Boutu live from Palestine in the West Bank, and she's just come from a very large demonstration in which at least two Palestinians were killed and hundreds have been injured. Diana, first of all, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm far back from where the shooting is taking place, so I'm fine. But we can definitely hear all the ambulances passing. There's been a lot of live fire. When I was closer up, they were using not only live fire but tear gas. There were things set on fire, and there were at least just within my eye shot, just within the time that I was up closer, at least 25 people who were taken away in ambulances. Since then, we've heard reports of over 100 people injured and at least two dead. It's impossible to know exactly what's happening now because of the fact that it's so difficult to move within this area and to get to any of the hospitals.
Diana, tell our listeners a little bit about the protest. This was probably the largest protest, Palestinians demonstrating in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza and the massacres that are going on there. Tell our listeners what actually happened today.
Well, absolutely. This is the largest demonstration that I've ever seen in over two decades. It was a protest that was put together by a number of different Palestinian political factions, all uniting under the Palestinian flag. We started from one of the refugees camps just outside of Ramallah and walked towards the refugee camp and then later to the checkpoint at Qalandia, the checkpoint which separates between Qalandia and between Jerusalem, which is off limits, obviously, to hundreds of thousands,
right,
of, if not millions, of Palestinians. The protest march was a very peaceful one, with thousands and thousands of marchers, thousands of people carrying the Palestinian flag, all chanting slogans to support Gaza, to support Palestine, and all united under the Palestinian flag.
Well, Diana, that you're just breaking one of the biggest myths that has been portrayed here in terms of covering the news in Palestine. The way it's being covered here is that Gaza, Palestinians in Gaza, are different somehow than Palestinians in the West Bank and the rest of the world. This is a very different statement than what we're hearing.
Oh, absolutely, Jess. You know, they've tried as much as possible to separate Palestinians from Gaza, from the rest of Palestine, from the West Bank, from East Jerusalem, from Palestinians who live in 1948 and who are citizens of the country, from refugees outside of the country, from the diaspora. And what's clear from this protest, and as well as the numerous protests that have been taking place throughout cities across the West Bank and inside Palestinian cities that are inside 48, is that we are all united as one. What happens to Palestinians in Gaza is also happening to Palestinians all throughout who are affected by Israel and by Zionism. So it's a complete myth that we are separate. We're actually one united people.
Well, that's a message that is not getting through here, because they're somehow saying that, Hamas is not supported by anybody, what's happening in Gaza. They are, as you said, trying to separate things, but I guess from what you're saying and what we've been reading lately, there is pretty much significant support for what is going on in terms of how the ceasefire is being negotiated. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yes, definitely. Most definitely, Jess. You know, initially there were attempts on the part of the upper echelons within the Palestinian Authority, most specifically Mahmoud Abbas, to try to paint Hamas as being somehow different from the rest of the Palestinian people. And initially he was trying to broker some sort of a ceasefire that wasn't even going to do anything other than return us to the status quo ante, which we have now seen is untenable. Since that time, there's been a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on the rest of the Palestinian Authority and the PLO to try to unite under one banner. And it's become clear that everybody is speaking in one voice, saying that the siege must be lifted, that Palestinians need to be released from prison, that the crossings have to be open, the blockade on the sea blockade also has to be lifted. And beyond that, the bigger picture of not, this is not just Gaza, this is about all of Palestine. We need our freedom. And this is the first time that we see the PLO signing on to and exactly echoing the demands that have been laid out by the people in Gaza.
We're speaking with Diana Bhutu live in the middle of a protest near Ramallah, the largest protest condemning the massacres in Gaza right now, but more importantly, standing in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. Diana, I wondered if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what you're hearing in the street, because when we interview Palestinians in Gaza, for example, they're saying that the exact same thing. Why go back to the way things were? You know, if we ask for a ceasefire now, we're going to go back to the slow death. At least now there's an attempt to restore some semblance of dignity. Is that message coming through in the people you're speaking with in and around Ramallah?
Loud and clear. This is a message that every person on the street and every person in the echelons of power, etc., have been echoing time and again. It's time that, you know, what the Israelis have this mentality, and they've been expressing it in their security, you know, the security officials have been saying that every couple of years they need to, quote, mow the lawn, unquote, meaning that every couple of years they need to go in and commit a massive massacre inside the Gaza Strip. And what has become clear and what everybody is saying is that this isn't just a question of stopping Israel's massacre, which obviously needs to stop, but the bigger picture of no longer forcing Gazans who are shoved into one corner of our historic homeland and then completely blockaded, forced to dig tunnels to bring in basic supplies, that this is obviously something that is untenable and has to be lifted. And every Palestinian is united in saying this, that this is about our freedom. It's about the freedom for Gaza. It's about the freedom for all Palestinians. And enough is enough. We can't go back to another situation where Israel gets to mow the lawn again with complete impunity by the international community.
Diana, I want to ask you another question about maybe a change in how this is being covered internationally. I've been watching all of your interviews, which have been just really outstanding, but I can't remember a time when you've been so roundly and viciously attacked by people interviewing you about the situation in Palestine. It's am I just making that up, or do you feel like the questioning that Palestinians are getting in terms of speaking about this are being really, really attacked on this stuff?
You know, Jess, this for me is this is a turning point. This is the first time that I feel that Palestinians are being castigated for being killed, rather than Israel being castigated for doing the killing. Everything from the line of questioning to the manner of questioning, it's become clear to me that there are journalists out there who have become very, very, very lazy in their work. Instead of actually questioning people who are in positions of power, in other words, the Israeli government, they question the people who are the victims of those in power, in other words, the Palestinians. And I haven't seen this in my history, my years of working with media. I've never been in a situation where we are constantly on the defensive, being asked why we are being killed, why we are dying, rather than questioning those who are doing the killing.
Well, that seems rather extraordinary. I mean, that's the line of questioning that I've seen you take on with such dignity, but basically people have been asking you and other Palestinians who are being interviewed, why are you wanting to die? Why are you creating this condition that the Israelis are having to kill you? It seems like an outrageous, outrageous line of questioning that is being carried out here on the media.
It's racist, it's offensive, it buys into the Israeli propaganda. It's, you would never, ever ask any person in any situation, other than with the Palestinians, the questions that have been asked of the Palestinians. We would never dare say this to any other people around the world, and journalists would never. But this line of questioning has been so accepted and so adopted by the West that they just think that it's commonplace. And when the mere fact that I have to tell them that this is offensive, outrageous, racist, shows you the level of where the mainstream media is at today. I mean, who asks the question of why do you want to die?
Exactly.
It's unbelievable. Who asks the question to a child who's 4 days old, who's killed in a massacre? You know, it's unbelievable the way that things are, the way that the media is portraying this. It's as though that our parents just give birth to children just so that they can die. No, this isn't the case. We obviously want to live, and the mere fact that I have to defend our right to live is abhorrent.
Diana, I wondered if you could comment a bit, because again, not in the media at all, is just the upheaval that's going on in the West Bank right now, because we're not getting any information about the incursions, the closures, the arrests, and the situation. Obviously, we're hearing it right now. The situation in the West Bank right now is extremely volatile. Could you comment on that?
Yes, it is. It's volatile. We've seen, in the past couple of days, there have been a number of Palestinians who've been killed, some of them by settlers. And this type of stuff is the day-to-day reporting that is missing from all of the major mainstream media. You know, just when you think about the media coverage in this place, Jerusalem has the highest concentration of foreign media outside of Washington D.C. of any place in the entire world, and yet, despite the fact that it's got the highest concentration of foreign journalists covering it, the lack of stories that are coming out about Palestinians is appalling. I mean, we have to argue constantly to try to get even basic information out about Palestinians who get killed, the abduction attempts that occurred in the aftermath of Mohammed Abu Khadir's abduction and torture and then killing, all of the day-to-day activities of land confiscation, home demolitions, settlement construction expansion, and so on. These are stories that journalists should be covering on a day-to-day basis, but aren't. And now, in particular, with all of the focus on Sunday, which it should be rightfully on Gaza, but they should also be covering what's going on in the West Bank and for Palestinians who are citizens of Israel.
Right.
I was at a protest the other day when in the city of Haifa, which everybody touts as being the model of coexistence. And at that protest, there was an authorized protest. 500 anti-war demonstrators came forward, and on the counter side, there were 2,000 pro-Israel, pro-war demonstrators who ended up throwing stones at us, who ended up throwing bottles at us, who ended up clubbing some people, and the police did absolutely nothing. During those protests, chants of death to Arabs, go to Gaza, and you know, other racist slogans were constantly being chanted out by the Israelis, with absolutely no accountability and nobody taking any action against these people.
Well,
yes, there are people who are in 48 who are losing their jobs,
right,
over Facebook posts. There are Facebook groups by Israelis that are entirely dedicated to witch hunts against those who are expressing any sentiment about Gaza, and yet all of this is not being covered by the media.
We're speaking with Diana Buttu live in the middle of a protest in near Ramallah right now, where at least two Palestinians were killed and hundreds are injured, and we're really grateful that, Diana, you're giving of your time right now. We really want you to be safe. But I wondered if you could comment on this thing about what happened in Haifa. I mean, this is not, again, not being reported here about the breadth and the depth of the racism and the right-wing fundamental aspect and character of Israel right now. The national rabbi for Israel issued an edict today basically authorizing the Israeli military to kill Palestinians with impunity, with religious freedom. This is, where else in the world does this occur?
Yes, Jeff, and he's not the first, and I don't think he'll be the last either. The only difference is that he's a rabbi. And we've heard other members of Knesset, such as Baruch Marzel, who actually implored these counter-protesters to come to Haifa to chant these death to Arabs and go to Gaza slogans. He did so with complete immunity. He's allowed to say whatever he wants to say. Ayelet Shaked, another member of Knesset, has called Palestinian mothers snakes and that we should be exterminated. There's been professors at universities who said that the only effective weapon is to rape Palestinians, and that will prevent further acts of violence on the part of Palestinians. I mean, the level of vitriol and hate speech and racism that has been coming out, not just during this latest attack on Gaza, but before that. And the big problem, Jess, is that people dismiss these comments as being somehow extremist. And time and again, no matter how many times we raise that these people should be held to account for their hate speech, including Netanyahu, who called the people who killed the three Israelis, he called them animals, human animals,
yeah.
And he called for revenge, etc. These people have to be held accountable. You can't, on the one hand, be making these racist and hate-filled speech comments, and then, on the other hand, not expect that the population within Israel is going to act. The statements that they're making are very much a reflection of what the society is thinking and feeling and saying. It's not that the leaders are just saying it and there's no echo. It's quite the opposite. They're actually just echoing what people are saying.
We're speaking with the courageous Diana Boutu live from Palestine right now. She's in the middle of the largest protest that we've seen in decades in the West Bank. Palestinians in the West Bank standing in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza, undivided against this brutal ethnic cleansing that's going on in Gaza. Diana, we get asked this question a lot. I wondered if you can comment on it. What can we do? So when the average person international hears you speaking like this and they want to do something in support of Palestinian freedom and dignity and self-determination, what do you tell them today?
There's a number of things that people can and should be doing. First and foremost, the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement is growing and needs to grow even further. Beyond just pushing for boycotts, beyond just pushing for divestment, beyond pushing for sanctions, there needs to be a push for an arms embargo on Israel. There needs to be a push for accountability for Israel's actions. I mean, it is carrying out a massacre right now in Gaza. And rather than the world standing up and saying that this is a massacre, they're afraid to speak out and afraid of what the lobby is going to say and do. So the first thing is the boycott movement is our way of reclaiming our voices and pushing forward a very strong position in support of Palestine. That's number one. Number two is we need to start holding our media accountable. Again, when you get to the stage where you see that the largest concentration of foreign journalists, not just during this period in Gaza, but in general, is located in Jerusalem, and all of these stories about the occupation, about what it's like to live in 48, are not being covered, then it becomes very clear that these people should be held to account, and people should be demanding that their media cover this. They should be demanding corrections because there's a lot of misconceptions. They should be pushing back just in the same way that the pro-Israel lobby counters every single word that a journalist writes. So too, we should be creating our own mechanism to counter every single word that these journalists write and hold them accountable, both for the stories that they are writing and the stories that they're not writing. And the third thing, and I think it's very important, is we have to start holding our politicians accountable.
Right.
I mean, when I as a Palestinian hear that 100 senators unanimously voted in favor of a resolution calling that Israel has a right to defend itself, I'm appalled. You cannot get 100 senators to agree on any issue in the United States, not one issue, except when it comes to Israel. And it's time that we start fighting back and pushing back against this complete barrage of pro-Israel statements that is coming from the United States. These are the mechanisms that we can do in the short term. The longer term, there's a number of things. we have to, as a Palestinian society, become more self-sustainable, so we aren't reliant upon U.S. and other donor money, so we can freely speak out and freely act. And we need to have, obviously, a representative government. This government is not. But those are issues that are not in the short and immediate term, but also need to be addressed.
That's the courageous voice of Diana Bhutu. Diana Bhutu is in the middle of the largest protest right now near Ramallah, with Palestinians in the West Bank standing in solidarity, undivided with Palestinians in Gaza in 1948 and throughout the diaspora. Diana, I can't thank you enough for your courage to give us this interview and for all the hard work you do. I mean, please be safe, and thank you so much for giving of your time.
Thank you, and I hope you were able to hear me in between all of the
we
sounds
did.
Of the ambulances.
We did, and I mean, we just want you to be safe because we need you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess. Thanks.
Okay, we're gonna take a short musical break, and then when we come back, analysis of that amazing interview with Diana Bhutu. Stay tuned. This is KPO Radio San Francisco, and we're on Arab Talk at 89.5 FM.